The following show is for informational purposes only. Individual situations may vary, and the information should be relied upon only when coordinated with individual professional advice.
Welcome to Discovering Responsible Wealth. This is our monthly coaching call. This is your host, Frank Congelos, and our guest today is Steve Rubin, Vice President, Business Development, and Reverse Mortgage Specialist at TAM Lending. Steve, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you with us today. How are you?
I'm great, Frank. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you asking me.
So, Steve, you know, what's interesting is, you know, in our world of, you know, financial services, most of our clients are homeowners. Home for many people are one of the largest assets that they will own over their lifetime. And what's interesting is that the way that we define wealth in our organization as the Institute of Responsible Wealth is we say wealth is cash flow and quality of life. And what I speak to and what I write about is the fact that a home is kind of like a deferred asset. It's an asset that you ultimately leave to someone, but it could be a cash flow challenge, especially during retirement, because you got to pay the taxes and the upkeep. And if you still have a mortgage, you've got expenses associated with it. And our purpose for spending time with you today is from getting to know you over time, you've shown people through strategies with reverse mortgages on how to take what I refer to as that house, which is kind of that cash flow liability, and turn it into a real asset, providing cash flow for people through the use of reverse mortgages. And so we're not saying that this is for everybody. It's certainly not. But what we're saying is it's a viable strategy for the right person, and it should be done with a professional that knows what they're doing. And so without further ado, Steve, perhaps you can give us an overview on how these reverse mortgages work. Are they lump sum? Are they payments? What are they and how do they work?
Well, most people are familiar with the FHA program that is available in all 50 states. And that is the HECM, or Home Equity Conversion Mortgage. If you are not located in Florida, Connecticut, Colorado, or California. In our case, our company is licensed in Florida. We're going to focus on the FHA program, which is the home equity conversion mortgage that most people are familiar with. That mortgage is it's a great tool, and I appreciate Frank's perspective because he has a very macroeconomic perspective, and I share that perspective, that we really stress the importance of positive cash flow and being able to live a comfortable, healthy life with as much money that's available to enjoy your life once your business and overhead expenses on your home and your personal life are taken care of. So one of the main expenses is your mortgage expense, which is broken down essentially into principal, interest, taxes, insurance, and, you know, you add in your homeowners association dues. So with the reverse mortgage, in some instances, what we are doing is we are refinancing the pre-existing mortgage balance so that the principal and interest component is now freed up for the homeowner so that they can use that money that would otherwise be going to a bank for their own lifestyle. So essentially what happens is you also have to realize when you're looking at the FHA program, which is the only program available in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, when you're looking at the program, you have to make sure that the property, first off, is FHA eligible. So all single-family homes and all your 2-to-4-unit properties, as long as they're primary residents, are available to use with the HECM reverse mortgage or the home equity conversion mortgage, or it's commonly referred to as a reverse. That mortgage is also available on condominiums that have FHA eligibility. And so if you happen to be a condominium owner, it's easy to double check that. You can Google FHA approved condominiums and it'll pull up HUD's website where can look up your condominium development, but just make sure sometimes it's a little bit confusing to homeowners because they see their home, their association was approved, but then they did not keep up with the eligibility. So you have to make sure, A, that the condominium is approved by HUD, and also that the eligibility is current on the property. Once we know that we have an FHA-eligible property, and it has to be a primary residence, then the first thing we look at is we look to make sure that one of the people on title is at least 62 or older. Now, there was a very important piece of legislation that occurred a few years ago, which came about because there were so many issues with respect to people moving a property into an older person's, in a marriage, an older person, let's use the husband, is 70 and the wife is 60, they would put the property in the husband's name, and then 3 months later the husband passes, and the wife, who's 60 years old, now was left with essentially a decision that in either the first 6 months of from date of death, they would have to, she would have to qualify for a mortgage, or in 12 months she would have to sell the property. That no longer exists. What we do now is if we have one person 62 or older and they have a spouse or a child that's on title, we actually notify the reverse mortgage lender that that situation exists, and we calculate a loan-to-value, which is going to be lower based on the younger spouse. So in the instance of 70 and 60, we actually do the loan-to-value on the 60-year-old. After the mortgage closes, the reverse mortgage closes, they actually do a change in title, and they add the other spouse, the 60-year-old, because you can't close the mortgage on a 60-year-old and 62 and 70-year-old. It has to be in his name, but we can add them to title right after the reverse closes so that the property immediately upon death goes to the surviving spouse. So essentially the new rule is within the first 90 days of date of death, if it happens to be the one person that's 62 or older who was on title, if they were to pass first, in the first 90 days of the date of death, that the property must be put into the surviving spouse's name. The easiest way to do it would be just to add them to title at the county immediately after, or, you know, within a week or two after the reverse closes. We can add them to title. It's a, you know, very, very small charge, probably under $50. So, and Steve, then this way, it's – go ahead, Frank.
I was going to say, so in just so for our listeners and for our clients that are going to hear this, it sounds like the eligibility for this to even take place is the entry age is 62. And it's if I had a husband and wife or, you know, whatever the case might be, you know, a couple there – they take the younger ages the younger age because it's based on
the calculation.
Right.
Yes.
It's based on
the
mortality
LTV calculation.
And
that the that they have to be notified in advance that there's going to be a reverse with what's called a non-borrowing spouse.
Got it.
So the non-borrowing spouse is in the mortgage. They're actually signing paperwork. They are notified the entire process. So our LTV is not based on the, in this case, they're not based on the 70-year-old. It's based on the 60-year-old.
Got it.
So loan-to-value, just so the listeners can follow along, if you had, say, husband and wife that were 75 years old, and just to keep it simple, if the loan-to-value is 60% and the property value is $600,000, then the reverse eligibility is $360,000, obviously 60%. 10% times 600,000. Now, if you have a, let's say you have a 65-year-old male who's married to a 55-year-old female. If the 55-year-old female is, the loan-to-value is 50% as opposed to 60%, then that $600,000 house, the amount of funds that are available are $300,000 or 50% times the $600,000. So essentially what will happen is there would be a FHA appraisal that would be necessary in all reverse mortgages. In the case of a reverse jumbo mortgage in Florida, should someone be listening in Florida, where we can do a reverse jumbo mortgage, there are actually two appraisals once the home value is $1 million or greater. And that product is good up to $6 million of value. The ceiling on FHA is $636,150. So whether the home value is $636,150 or it's $2 million in New Jersey, the value of the reverse mortgage is based on $636,150. Then they're going to multiply it times the multiplier, which is your LTV, and that determines how much of a reverse mortgage can be used.
So, now, Steve, once they have that, what are the options on how they get paid? Is it, you know, it sounded like
they can pay off a mortgage.
Is it lump sum? Is it payments? What are the options?
Well, we first have to look at, is there a pre-existing mortgage balance? So if, let's just use the $600,000 property, and let's just say we have a 65-year-old male, 55-year-old female, just to keep it simple, and let's say our LTV is 50%. If they have a pre-existing mortgage balance of, let's just use $300,000, then essentially the reverse mortgage is a wash. So why would somebody do that? Now they don't have principal and interest payments. There is going to be some closing costs, but the closing costs are not exorbitant. They happen to be higher in a situation where there's a pre-existing mortgage, where the pre-existing mortgage is just getting wiped out, because the calculation is that if you have a free and clear property, say we have a $600,000 free and clear property owned by the 65-year-old husband and wife, 65-year-old male, 55-year-old female. What if the calculation's 50%, now we have a pool of money of $300,000. It's an interesting thing that Congress requires of that particular situation. If it's a free and clear property, and $300,000 of capital is available, they will only allow that person to get 60% of the $300,000 or $180,000 minus closing costs, and the other 40% is available on the first year anniversary, and that only works with the LIBOR product. It does not work with the fixed product. So when you come across people that have free and clear homes that are looking to basically either get a lump sum of cash, or they want to annuitize the benefits, which is an option you can do over that, on that $300,000 of capital, you could annuitize, meaning you could be paid monies monthly, or if you wanted to get lump sum and put that money into your portfolio, and Frank could be investing with you and look at different investments.
Actually,
off of that.
Our industry doesn't allow us to reverse mortgage and put into portfolios, but if they needed it for their lifestyle, it does work perfectly.
Absolutely. And I mean, you're looking at, again, on the $600,000, but even if you're looking at, say, a home worth $1 million that's free and clear, what we would do is you would look at 636 as the ceiling. We would use the multiplier. If, say, the couple is both husband and wife are 70 to 75, we're probably looking at closer to 60%. The reason that the LTV goes up as you are older is that there's not as many years that the interest would be accumulating internally, because in most cases, and not all cases, but 99% of these cases, people that you do a reverse mortgage are not going to be making interest payments to their bank. What they're using it for is to essentially raise cash. They can do that lump sum, or if they want to increase cash flow and get it out monthly, that's fine. They can annuitize, and they can create an additional income stream. But if you have older people, say you have people in their 70s and they're looking at 60%, you would take 60% of the 636, 150, and then that would create the total amount. And, of course, if it's a free and clear property, they can only get 60% of the 60% of the 630, 650. So I'm not sitting here with a calculator, but say that number were somewhere around $375,000, as an example. If it's $375,000, then they can get 60% of that number minus their closing costs. They get that tax-free at settlement, or 3 days, if there's a three-day rescission period, and then on their first year anniversary, they can always see their money in their statement, but on their first year anniversary, they have access to the money. What Congress is essentially worried about is when you have seniors that go into their equity, they want to be sure that the monies are not going to be squandered away in gambling. People that like to go down to the casino, and they want to make sure that that other 40% is available on the first year anniversary to pay for property taxes, any upkeep that someone wants to do to the property, and the homeowner's insurance policy as well as their utilities.
So, Steve, let me just play back and summarize for our listeners a little bit.
Go ahead.
No problem. So I just want to make sure that we got this. So it sounds like based upon age, the older they are, because it's a shorter period of time over life expectancy, the higher the factor is in the 60% that's available to them.
That is correct. So the maximum percentage that can be used in a reverse mortgage, when you're talking about, say, people in their mid-80s or 90s, is 75%. They always leave a 25% cushion for the interest to accrue internally. But I do want to make sure that people realize, listening to this call, that you are not restricted in any way in terms of being able to sell your home. If, say, you have a home worth $800,000 and you're doing your reverse mortgage based on the 636, 150, you get your cash out at settlement, and then you get your access to your credit line, or you're basically paying off a pre-existing mortgage balance, and you're increasing your cash flow in that case. If somebody knocks on your door the following year and says, hey, Frank, I know your house might have been worth $800,000, but there's something happening in this neighborhood, and I want to buy this house for $1 million. I'm interested. That person is entitled to make a $200,000 profit. There's no restrictions on the sale of the property ever.
Great. Now, just out of curiosity, so we know that they can sell it at any time from what you just said. What about in the event of death, or let's say that, these are older people sometimes that are in it and they had to go to a nursing home? What happens to the property? Because if I were the client that's listening, or one of our listeners, I want to know, how much can I get? How can I get paid? Which we pointed out, they can get that percentage up to 636, depending upon age. We know that they can also get, pay off a mortgage. We can get a lump sum. We can get payments. They'll annuitize it to us. Then the big question that they would typically have is, okay, what happens if I die? What happens to that home? Or what also may happen in the event that, if I needed extended or a long-term care facility and I had to leave the house, what occurs?
Okay, well, let's address death first. the asset never goes to the investor. I mean, that is a fallacy that a lot of people have. They think, well, if I do this reverse mortgage and I'm only getting 60%, then the bank's buying my house and, you know, they're getting a discount on my house and I just lost 40%. First off, that is not how it works. The family, the husband and wife who are on title, they own the asset all through their entire life. And when they die, that asset goes into their estate. It goes into their estate with a mortgage balance. So it's just like any other mortgage balance. Great. It's an FHA mortgage. So essentially what you have is you have the option. If, say, it's we'll use the husband and wife for 75 and the kid, there's two kids that are age 50. Let's just use boy and girl twins. So what happens is that, let's say they lived 10 years in the house and they got the reverse mortgage at 75. And the second death occurred at age 85. And now these kids are 50 or they're 60 years old. What happens is that now there is a balance that has accrued on that mortgage. So if the property, when they took the mortgage, when they took the mortgage out, was worth $600,000 and 10 years later, it's worth $750,000, and the mortgage balance started at $300,000 and it grew to $450,000. Essentially, you have now $300,000 of equity in the property. You have a $750,000 property with a $450,000 balance. So what are the options for the kids? Well, one is if they want to live in the house for some reason, and that could occur. If they want to live in the house for sentimental reasons or they love the house, they would have to refinance that house. And in the first 6 months of the second, you know, the second death, they have to show that the house is being refinanced. And there has to be some proof that there is a mortgage in processing if for some reason. Usually you can get a mortgage in much less than 6 months. But if for some reason that was a decision that was made later, they may have tried to sell the house for the first 90 days, and then they decided, you know what, I'm going to keep the house, and I want to refinance it and take the bank out and own the house. They have to refinance the mortgage and take that pre-existing reverse mortgage balance, which is also continuing to accrue interest. They have to take them out. And now they are the owner of the house, and they're in a standard mortgage.
Got it.
The other option is when parents die, they inherit the asset with the $300,000 of equity, and the kids sell the house with a realtor, and they have 12 months to sell the house. And now they split the $300,000 after their realtor commissions. Now, let's get to the question about what happens when people have to leave the house. Essentially, what happens is, as long as they are not leaving the house permanently, they do not need to concern themselves with giving up any ownership or selling the house unless they're in a long-term care facility for greater than a year. So if, say, this is a gray area because the responsibilities of the homeowner are that property taxes and homeowner's insurance are going to be kept up and kept current. Now, if in a lot of instances when you have an aging parent, especially one that is tinkering on maybe needing to go into home health care, a lot of times there's a child living at the house. As long as the property taxes are paid and the house is upkept, honestly, no one's really going to come knocking on their door, so they could continue to do that indefinitely. But if you really want to go to the letter of the law, if there was knowledge that they're going to be in a long-term care facility for greater than a year, then they would need to list the house. I've never seen it done. I don't know of anyone that would do that. But if there's no children living in the house and the house is going to be abandoned, then that would be an instance where they would want the home to be sold. So you have to look at what is the actual balance on the reverse mortgage versus the actual value of the house. Reverse mortgages, in some instances, are held for 30 years because you have a 62-year-old who's, let's say you have two 62-year-olds. They can live easily 30 years in the property, so their mortgage balance at some point can be greater than the value of the house. Once that occurs, there's absolutely no benefit to selling the house because the federal government is going to pay any negative outstanding balance.
So they don't know the difference is what you're saying.
For example, if we started with a $300,000 lump sum and that $300,000 grows to, let's just say, $1 million, but the value of the house, which was $600,000, never went up in value, or it only went up in value to, say, $800,000. So there's a negative $200,000 balance on that property at the second death. When that occurs, there is a mortgage insurance component that is mandatory by the federal government. So the federal government will pay that outstanding $200,000 back to the original investor. The original investor is only paid one time their origination fee, and they do not get paid in their interest rate. All their interest is deferred until either the house is sold or the second death occurs and the house has to be sold. That's the only trigger point. So the investor is insured by the federal government. If not, you could have bank failure. Because in some instances, you could have an outstanding balance of over $1 million with a house that's only worth $300,000 or $400,000. So now there's negative $500,000 or negative $600,000. In this instance, the federal government pays that negative balance back to the investor so that the investor can be made whole. So if the interest rate, say, were 4.75% fixed, that 4.75 is actually recovered by the investor from the federal government. If there's still equity in the house when the house is sold, then the investor recoups that 4.75, or if a refinance occurs, then the investor recoups the 4.75. So that's the reason that there are investors, or there would never be an investor involved in this product.
Very good.
It would be too dangerous for the lender. So the federal insurance component in an FHA program is very integral. So when people say, hey, why am I paying mortgage insurance on this product? I would like to do this without mortgage insurance. Number one, it's only offered through FHA unless you happen to live in Florida or Colorado or California or Connecticut and you're using the reverse mortgage jumbo product, which only has pretty much a maximum of about 35% LTV. So on a 33 to 35% LTV, they know that there's never going to be a negative mortgage balance because people aren't going to live all the time.
Got it. So
in most cases. And also in the reverse mortgage jumbo product, both husband and wife have to be 62 or older. There is no exceptions. Where also you can use financial planning, which is a great tool, when you have, let's say, an older person whose health is a little bit shaky, but they have good net worth, and they have a child that's taking care of them. Let's use the example of, let's say, a 75-year-old dad. He's got a daughter who's 50. She was an attorney, and she was practicing law, but she wants to take care of her aging father and doesn't want to put him in a nursing home. That person, we can actually do a reverse mortgage on father and daughter, as long as we notify the bank that they're going to be on the reverse together. She has to be living in the house. This must be her principal residence. and we would use an LTV based on the daughter's age.
Got it.
In that case, when the father passes, the daughter can live in the house for her entire life as long as property taxes and a homeowner's insurance policy are maintained.
Very good. So for Steve, we've come to the end of our time. For all of our listeners, you've been listening to Discovering Responsible Wealth. Our guest today has been Steve Rubin, Vice President, Business Development and Reverse Mortgage Specialist at TAM Lending. And for all of our listeners, our whole purpose today is to show you that, that home that you own and that you get to retirement age with can go from being that, liability of, that cash drain to actually being a form of revenue to help you to really enjoy your retirement and to free up some cash. So, Steve, thank you so much for being with us today, and thank you for all of our listeners.
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate it. If it's okay, I'd like to leave my phone number if anyone has a question.
Sure, that'd be
great.
For
me about reverse mortgages. Is that okay, Frank?
That'd be great. Go right ahead.
Okay. My phone number is area code 215-834-9750. If you want to text me, I'll get right back to you, or call me is preferred. And I was a financial planner for 10 years. From 85 to 95, I ran a company for 15 years and been in mortgages now over 10 years. But this is a true hybrid product, and I would love to discuss it. Obviously, there's a lot of individual circumstances that come on to this type of program, but I'm more than happy to discuss it with anyone. And obviously, Frank would be involved in the discussions, so it would be done correctly and would be done ethically.
Thank you, Steve, and for all of our listeners, have a great month.
Advisors of the Institute of Responsible Wealth may be licensed for investment and insurance products. The Institute of Responsible Wealth is an educational division of CNA Financial Group. CNA Financial Group and its advisors are an agency or an agent of the Guardian Life Insurance Company of America, New York, New York. Securities products and advisory services offered through Park Avenue Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Park Avenue Securities is an indirect, wholly owned subsidiary of Guardian. The Institute of Responsible Wealth and CNA Financial Group are not affiliates or subsidiaries of Park Avenue Securities or Guardian.